And I will call to order the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting for February 22nd, 2022. This is was a joint meeting with the Finance Committee. However, I'm not sure that they were posted on time. Is that what I'm somewhat hearing or finding?
Before you were. No.
I'm not sure. Somebody said no. Do you guys posted? You're all set for your meeting, Finance?
Finance Committee posted the meeting, but they forgot that it was a holiday, Monday.
Oh.
So it was posted Friday.
Okay. All right. So we'll move forward. It's still a joint meeting. Just no decisions will be made by the Finance Committee. So, and we already have some emails that were sent from results from their previous meeting last week. So we can review some of those.
Thank you.
All right. So it's first item is identification of callers. So I'm going to do the select board and Hilma, and then Hilma, if you could do the rest of the folks, that'd be great. So myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I'm here. And we have Sue Lively.
Here.
And Hilma Sumner, your town coordinator.
I'm here.
And I'll let you take it.
Okay. David and Barbara Gordon.
Here.
Elisa Viaringo.
Here.
Bob Gruen.
Here.
Ned Wolf.
Here.
Kristen Wiegand.
Here.
Tara Mason. Bill Fontes.
Here.
Claire Rabbit.
Here.
Kevin Maloney.
Yeah, here.
Let's see, Gloria Cronin Fisher.
Here.
Kate Peppard.
Here, thank you.
Pat McGann. And where'd he go? Tom Lively, I think, is here now. Except, yeah, there he is, Tom Lively. And that's all the folks that I see.
I think you got everybody. All right, great. Thanks everyone for coming. Review of agenda. Sue, do you have any items for the agenda tonight?
No.
Hilma, anything?
No.
Okay, so we have some appointments, actual appointment time, 6:15 Heath Historical Society, and then 7 p.m. is Municipal Light Board. So other than that, we'll have to plug in some of the other items to fill in the gaps between those appointment times. So the rest is basically the other business between the Select Board and the Finance Committee as we're preparing for the budget. We do have, to talk about special town meeting possibilities still, and that is in regards to the need for extra funds for legal fees to date. And Hilma has reached out. Do you have any update on that for us tonight from council as to where we stand?
I have not gotten a response from council.
Okay. So we should probably do another follow-up on that so we can get that number, please.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Although I should be getting the actual invoice soon.
Soon, right. Right. Tom, are you going to do reporting from the Finance Committee meeting on the different items tonight? You're muted. Still muted.
Yeah, what's that?
That's good. Do you have anything? Did you guys talk at all about STM possibility for the legal fees? Did you have anything you wanted to report on that tonight?
We talked about it, and we really couldn't come up with a date certain. It's really thinking. I don't know. I guess it's one of those things that we could just kind of toss out a few dates and make sure who can make it, and then try to set up a meeting from there, a special town meeting.
Emma, do you want to do that? Do you want to pull some dates together right now? Try to throw some out there.
Okay. Well, when, you know, talking about like an STM, you're talking, you've got to have at least 3.5 weeks. I want to say prep time. The warrant has to be posted for 14 full days. And then the warrant's got to be pulled together and signed. So you're probably talking a month. So in that case, you're talking now end of March. And it, you know, it's entirely up to you folks, but it's like at this point in time, weighing out, is it worth having an STM 5 weeks before the ATM?
Yeah, do you think that town councils there, would they be willing to like wait till then?
It was either last year or 2 years, maybe it was 2 years ago. They had to wait a couple of months until we were able to pay them.
Let's ask that question, Hilma, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Sue, thoughts?
No, I think the first thing would be to check with them and make sure that they're okay with waiting and they understand why. And if they're fine with it, then I think we should just wait.
Help with the costs. That's for certain.
Yeah. And we're not gaining a whole lot of time either way, so.
Right. Bob, do you have a quick question?
Would it have to be held outdoors, which would require another tent and, you know, all of that? It doesn't have to be held outdoors?
Nope. I don't believe so.
Okay, thank you.
Bill, did you have a quick question?
I do, very quick. Just, to play devil's advocate, what would happen if you had the lawyers wait and then the town said, no, you can't spend the money?
Well,
the
money is spent, and that could happen at STM too. Hilma.
I mean, basically what the accountant would say is you got to pay your bills.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, yes, town meeting really needs to approve it, but if they don't, they still got to pay it. It's kind of like, and I hate to put it this way, but it's kind of like with the school district assessment. If one town votes against it, it still passes. The town still has a legal obligation to pay their assessment, even though they didn't approve it.
Tom, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, it's not like we're raising and appropriating the money, I don't believe. And we have free cash that we're going to be just transferring from. So it's not, usually isn't all that argumentative.
Okay, I guess my question is, do you want to set a tentative date for an STM tonight in case town council says, no, we want our money right now?
Yeah, I think we should.
So you would probably be looking at perhaps like March 29th is a Tuesday. March 30th is a Wednesday. I guess given the nature of things and the fact that the select board are having virtual meetings, that it would probably be better not to do one immediately following the other. You know, if you were meeting in person, it works to do one right after the other. This would not work.
Yep.
When is our regular scheduled meeting in March?
Well, let's see. First one, 29th.
Would it be possible to get it in on the 22nd?
On the 22nd?
Does that, yeah, March 22nd? That's a Tuesday. I'm looking at a 22 calendar.
It would, but
that, is there time enough to get it planned for that?
We still have a meeting on the 22nd.
She said our regular meeting's on the 29th.
But our finance committee meeting will be on the 22nd.
Budget planning.
This meeting.
If you're going to use it, would be the 22nd.
My assumption is we'd be meeting every Tuesday in March. It's my guess. I can do the 30th.
I can't.
Okay.
I don't.
23rd?
I can. It's unlikely I'll be available the last week of March.
Okay.
Sure.
But, okay, so that's the 30th, right, Sue?
That would be anywhere that, let's see. The 28th to April 1st is the last week of March.
Yeah.
And it's unlikely I'd be available any of that week.
Okay.
I could do Zoom, but I can't.
But March 23rd, you would be.
Yes, the week before, we could probably make it work.
Okay.
The earlier in the week, the better, but. So the 23rd is a possibility?
I would think so.
Yep. Works for me.
That's only if we need it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least we have a date.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would let Hilma start working on it right away if once she gets a response from legal counsel on whether or not they can wait.
Yeah.
Then she can just step right into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're very close to 6:15 here. Who is with us or going to be with us from Heath Historical? I see Ned, Claire. Who else is? Wait a minute, let me look here. Who do you? Are there more people coming, Ned?
I thought there might be, but as far as board members go, it's so far I'm seeing Claire and no one else.
We've got a minute, just about.
Yeah.
So we're going to kill a minute because there really isn't anything else to delve into that's only a minute. And it's unfortunate because Brian wanted to be part of this conversation. So I know he's going to come in at some point, but maybe he'll sneak in soon. Maybe. And I'm actually going to, when we get this started, I'm going to kind of turn this one over to Sue. Oh, here comes Nina. Hi, Nina.
Good evening, everybody.
It is 6:15 now. I'm having laryngitis issues, so I'm kind of having a tough time at talking. I'm gonna turn this part over to Sue to run. Brian is gonna be late. he had a meeting. So I think right now it's Ned, Claire, you, and Sue and I. And so I think, at least I'll kind of give a starter. I know we wanted to have just kind of a little bit of discussion, I think, about the wants from the, or the request from the Historical Society for space in the center of town to build a building. Do you want to, Ned, do you kind of want to just give like the folks that are here a kind of synopsis of what you guys were thinking so everybody at least knows?
Sure. So for quite a few years, we've been talking of our need to have a storage building, roughly 20 by 25.
And, thanks, Bill.
One which is climate controlled, which none of our current buildings is. So in order to have this building, we needed a place to build it. And 5 Ledges Road is a non-conforming lot. So it could not be purchased by someone to build, and it has enough space for the kind of storage building we're wanting to build. And Bob has been close to this. He has done a lot of work on it, and does appear, from having talked with Alice and Chris, the treasurer, that piece of land would go up for auction. That is not a done deal, but it's certainly a possibility. And the Historical Society is interested in that land.
Meaning that if it went up for auction, the Historical Society would want to purchase it?
We would be interested in bidding for it, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Before we ask any questions, I know Bob's been really prominent in working on that. Bob, did you have anything you wanted to add? We were just doing a little synopsis of the request for the space in the center of town, just so everybody knew what was going on. So I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to add.
You're muted, Bob.
There you go. Yeah.
I did talk to Chris today, and she was going to do a little research as to the best way to do this. That's the only thing I have to add.
Okay. Nina, Claire, Nina, do you have anything you wanted to?
Nothing for me.
Okay. Claire?
Nothing else other than what Ned has told you.
Okay. So you got questions or thoughts you wanted to talk with them about?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. I'm glad to see that the interest has moved from leasing to purchasing the land, which I think is a much better approach for the town, as far as the interest of the town is concerned, for both parties, because it just didn't make sense to me to have one person owning the land and another person owning the building. There would always be questions about who was responsible for what. I'm wondering, Ned mentioned that this is a non-conforming lot. I'm wondering if anybody on the Historical Society has had a conversation with the building inspector or the Conservation Commission regarding the potential of that property. Would the building inspector improve? Would the building inspector consider this kind of a building acceptable on this non-conforming lot? Is it a wetland that you're going to be challenged as far as whether the Conservation Commission would approve it. I'm just thinking it would be good to know those things before we get too far into the planning of it.
Go ahead, Bob.
Can I comment?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't speak to the building inspector, but my understanding is that a storage building could be built on it. And some time ago, Brian got together with Bill Luttrell and looked at the wetlands issue, and the size of the building that we were talking about, which is a 20 by 20 building, theoretically, would be not too close to the wetlands. There is wetlands on the back of the site.
So you don't have anything in writing from the building inspector that says that they would?
No, it was simply a conversation actually that Alice had with the building inspector. And he said it could have a shed or a storage building would be okay on the site. But we haven't, one of us, unless Ned spoke to somebody, I didn't speak to anybody. I'm assuming it was a reasonable response to Alice.
Ned, you had your hand up?
I was going to say that I have not talked with a building inspector about the property. And I do recall Bob's relaying to me his conversation with Bill Luttrell, who, as Bob just said, pointed to a wetland, but did not consider that an obstacle.
So Justin, go ahead. No, well, my other question was, I know initially, I think Alice made a comment last week, but I know initially we thought we would have to go through the typical procedure for our selling of town land and have to go through annual town meeting and all of that. And Alice said she didn't think that was true. Have we had any follow-up on that to confirm it, either Hilmar or Alice?
Yeah. Oh, I think Bob can. Everybody can answer. Go ahead, Bob.
I talked to Chris today. She said that it did not have to go through town meeting.
Okay.
I just had a quick question, Robin.
Yeah, Nina.
And that is, if it goes up for, if the property goes up for auction, does the town have any responsibility to tell people anything about the land in terms of buildability or wetlands, or is that up for every prospective bidder to do their own research beforehand?
Helma?
Oh, well, unless Alice wants to.
Oh, sorry, Alice. Did you have your hand
respond
up?
To this? I don't know.
Yeah, the responsibility for any purchase, whether it's for a town purchase or a real estate transaction in the open market, is buyer beware. So ultimately, any transaction is up to the purchaser to do due diligence to make sure that what they can do is allowable by zoning rights. A follow-up, I have an email from Dave Rogers, who is a building inspector for us. It's a non-conforming lots requirements for frontage, size, whatever, shall not apply for a lot for a single family or two family residential use, which at the time of recording or endorsement, blah, blah, blah. So it goes on to talk about residence, does not discuss sheds or outbuildings. So you could double check. I did ask him. So, you know, would a shed be allowable? And this is what he sent back to me. So, and this is our zoning bylaws. And a quick follow-up to Sue's thing about traditional ways of selling. Town property that we own and sell is not traditional. Traditional in a more, in the term, meaning it happens more often, is tax title property that we take ownership of and then return back onto the market does not require. So that's, I mean, that's more traditional than a town owned piece of property that we acquire for a specific reason.
Bob?
One additional piece of information from Chris was she was going to check into whether it would be an auction or a sealed bid.
Okay. And just so I understand, just out of curiosity, is this, so it's just a building that stores artifacts and then they get taken out? Is that how it works? And for people to see them, people don't go in to see them. They get taken out at some point to be seen. Is that how the concept works? Ned, go ahead. Anybody? Yeah, Ned.
You've described how it would be. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
There would be a desk and a chair so that a person could open documents and various things while in the building. But it would not be a place that people like a museum or anything like that.
Yeah. So, is that access to go in and look at things, is that limited to just members of the Historical Society or your representation?
Well, we haven't worked that out, but okay. It's certainly likely that a person from some other town or even from a distance doing historical research could be interested in documents and Heath, and that person would contact, say, the board of the Historical Society and ask whether it would be possible to see the documents. And
we would. Okay. Nina, I saw you had your hand up.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think one of the main reasons for having this building is that in our current situation, we don't have climate control. We have a lot of mice and insects and other things that may be attacking our collection, in particular our papers and books. So the key objective is to provide a safe place for these pieces in our collection. I would not expect that people would be allowed to go into this building unsupervised. And I would think that a Historical Society member would always be there to ensure the safety of our artifacts.
Great, thank you.
Do you, and this may be a question for Alice again, I don't know. In the possibility of some kind of a, well, I don't think it's fair to classify this as a shed because I certainly is not, my image of a shed doesn't match what this is going to be. So are there any limitations on like size or style or electrical or water or appearance or any of those kind of things that would limit the possibilities of that property?
Typically from a board of typically from a building inspector perspective, a outbuilding is a structure that can have electricity, it can have water. What defines a residence is a stove and or a septic system, unless it's been restricted by something like the Board of Health for a canning shed, for instance, or something to that effect. But typically what makes a building is a stove and a septic.
Okay. Thank you, Alice.
Now, I guess I have a quick question for Bob or Ned. Are they looking at a foundation for this structure or just on piers, but well insulated with like skirting or something?
It's the second that you just described, no foundation.
Okay, my thinking was is that would be a better option, particularly if you have any kind of wetlands or whatnot, then you're not dredging, digging, whatnot when it relates to the conservation pieces. So just as a help to, you know, making the project easier and simpler.
Great. Other questions? Sue, do you have any other questions? It doesn't not really. On, go ahead.
Not on this.
Anybody else? Any finance committee members? Anybody have any questions for the Historical Society? So I assume this is just going to keep moving forward with Chris, if that's the direction you're going to take. My guess, I mean, I don't know, is there something, I don't know that there's anything the select board has to do at this point, is there? Do you need something from us? Oh, here comes Brian.
Here comes Brian.
Good evening.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Nina, go ahead while Brian's getting settled, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question and apologies if everybody already knows the answer to this. But I was just curious about the timing of when any action could take place.
Well, I think that's the same thing I was just asking too, Nina, because I think that if it's going to be through, because it was a taking, if it's going to go for auction, I think that timeline is Chris's. Do you, Helma or Alice, do you have any idea? Yeah, go ahead, Helma.
Yeah, actually, when it comes to auctioning property that's been taken like this, it is solely in the hands of the treasurer in terms of the timing of an auction. And I will actually speak with her and see, ask her things like if there's any other parcels of property that the town took possession of that needs to be auctioned off. I don't know if there is or not, but frequently in the past, the treasurer has, you know, done an auction with more than one parcel of land, whatever is in the town's possession. There is, I don't know, I believe there's like state requirements in terms of how much time you have to give for advertising and all that kind of stuff. But I will find out from her.
When you find that out, Hilma, can you keep the folks in the loop so they have
yes,
an idea? Are you guys ready to pull a trigger on this? Well, Brian, let me just bring Brian up to speed real quick. So obviously we're meeting with the Historical Society right now and just talking about the fact that land would go up to auction and they're interested in bidding on it. So that's where we're at. We were just kind of talking back and forth and asking and answering questions. But are you guys ready to pull the trigger? Like if Chris is moving forward with that in the near future, is that something that you're ready to do? Go ahead, Bob.
We only have done a preliminary guess at what this would cost. Brian and I were talking about it, gee, how long ago, Brian? A year ago, more?
Yeah.
And that's when, Brian, you were just coming in, but I quoted you, I hope correctly, that you had looked at the property with Bill Luttrell and you felt that this structure would be okay from a wetland standpoint?
Yes. The problem is that you'd have to build in what was previously developed, and that's not going to comply with the zoning bylaw in terms of setback, and it's impossible on that piece of property anyway. So that's just something to keep in mind, that you'd have to clear that up with a planning board.
So then to go back to the question, we had a guesstimate of the price and we have in hand about half the cost of the structure. And the intent was to go to the community foundation and to private donors for the other half.
Yeah. So I guess where I was going with that question is there, you know, what can the select board do? Not much, but whether there's a push to do it or a hold to do it, I guess that's just, you know, one of those questions. How quickly, I think that's where I was going with, how quickly were you ready to pull the trigger if that's what, if that's what was happening?
Well, why don't I find out from Chris, like the timing that all of this takes, and I can communicate that with the select board and with Ned as the Historical Society president, and then he can pass it on to the rest of the board. How does that sound?
Yeah, I think that's good. That makes sense. Sue?
I know that when you sell a piece of property, you can set up any special parameters around how that property might be used or things that can be done on a piece of property. Like the Bray Road property has conservation restrictions built into the deed. So when you do an auction like this, is that a possibility still? So that you could put something in that it, nope, one person shaking their head yes, and one person shaking their head no.
Who's saying no, Alice?
No, I don't.
Again, it's buyer beware. They can do. I mean, hypothetically, if you have a conforming lot and you decide you want to put up a exotic dancing, whatever, and it's within the purview, I mean, you can. Yeah, you can't restrict what someone can do with their property. It's just one of your bundles of sticks of what you can or cannot do with something. You can't restrict it. It's a town property. It goes, the only premise is to regain lost taxes, unless of course you're selling to a tax exempt entity, which is just going to be a lateral transfer. It's not quite, it's not quite the same as something where it was a town property that was acquired for a very specific purpose. Your purpose in a tax taking and repossession is just to get it back on the tax rolls or back in use. Sorry, I saw Bob's hand up.
Bob, did you still want to speak?
Yeah, just very quickly, the concern I have, and I absolutely agree with Alice that it's buyer beware, but we have firsthand experience where buyer beware doesn't mean that buyers are aware. There's been properties very close that don't have septic or, you know, water, any of that, and people still bought it. And my concern is if it went up for auction and somebody offered $100 more than the Historical Society, would it go to that person, or does the town have some parameter in which to say, we're going to rebid or something like that to try and keep it in for the purpose that we're aiming for? Because there are people out there who go through the papers and just buy stuff. They don't care, and then they're going to do what they're going to do or try to do with it. And that concerns me.
The treasurer has the final say. Typically, it's the highest price. However, if there is an experience situation where the person is, say, a current resident or landowner in town who is delinquent on their taxes, the treasurer does have the right to say, no, they do not, will not sell it, whether it's the highest purchase or not. So if there was some sort of showing of non-commitment to their existing, then she does not have to sell it. Because I see your, I know your point, Bob.
Thank you.
And with the current...
Oops, sorry, go ahead, Alice.
My last point was going to be, with that current situation, someone could buy it for, you know, $100 more and say they're going to whatever, and next thing you know, they're trying to throw up a house or whatever. ultimately the building inspector would deny it and they'd be into a jam and be paying something that they had no sense and purpose. Because it's a non-conforming lot, it's really only valuable to either someone like the Historic Society who's looking to do a shed nearby an existing structure, or to an abutting property owner who wants to expand or whatever. But typically I would think that you would probably get some, you know, people who are already in town and understand what the entity is trying to do would be like, oh, okay, it's not the dump going in next door or whatever, so that they would be agreeable to not try and outbid.
Brian and then Tom, I think, had his hand up.
We discussed a number of months ago with town council that the possibility of selling the or offering the property through an RFP process that could stipulate what kind of uses it could be put to might be a possibility. And I'm not sure if that applies to property acquired through tax taking, if there's any difference, but that seems like it might be a safer way to move forward. If we had, you know, written RFP that people would have to respond to, and part one of the requirements is that it's a nonprofit, or, you know, there may be other restrictions we could put in there as well. Yeah. I would feel more comfortable if we could pursue it that way.
Me too.
So we can check with town council and see if that's a possibility.
Me three.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask the treasurer all those questions.
Okay.
She's free.
Perfect. Free. Tom, did you have your hand up? I can't really see because I see more of your ceiling than I could see your hand. So, but I think I saw your fingers. Yeah. Oh, there you are. Did you have a question or you're muted? You're muted.
Too many buttons to push.
Oh my gosh.
But I was just wanted to kind of add my two cents about it. It's an auction and it usually goes to the highest bidder. So you have to be aware of that, which I think everybody is now. But anyways, what Brian has suggested is probably a safer route for the Historic Society.
All right, so we'll have Helma do all this follow-up with Chris and get the information back. Did you, Brian, you and Bob, you guys worked on the actual building costs? Did you actually figure, when you said you had an estimate from about a year ago, did you pull that together? How did you guys come up with that number?
It was a different building, but
what?
It was over where the schoolhouse is, you know, the
All right.
We had it just a wild guess of 40,000, but, you know, we haven't done any work to really have a number.
Do you have a design of the building?
Yeah, it's a little oblong or square building.
Well, I didn't know. What's it made of? If you want, the only reason I was asking, I could take a look at it for you if you want and pull a quick estimate on it if you want me to put it through the estimating and see what it is current. Sure. If you send it to me and tell me what it's built of.
What we did before was just a simple gable roof, you know, white clapboard, I think one wood window or a door, you know.
Okay.
It's
climate controlled and security, right?
Climate control. We don't even need a window. because it's going to be mostly shelving for different items.
But some attempt does need to be made to make sure that it, I mean, this is for the Historical Society. It needs to fit in with the look of the center.
Look, yeah, I get it. 20 by 20?
25.
Well, we kind of talked about, I don't know if Ryan would add to that, but that's what we kind of talked about.
Well, I think we started out something like 16 by 20. And it seemed to have expanded since then, but I'm not sure. It probably would look better if it wasn't square.
Yeah, longer. Yeah, I get it. Okay. All right, anything else for tonight? If not on this one, we'll just wait for Hilma to get that information back out to everyone and we can take another step. All right. Anything else from you guys, Historical Society? Good. Thank you.
Thank
Let us know what we can do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, folks. So our next appointment is at 7. That's the budget hearing with Municipal Light Board. So we'll fill in with a couple of other items here. Review of budget requests. Did you, Tom, do you guys have any updates that you wanted to share after your meeting? Did you do any further review conversation about the budget requests that we've already had in front of us that you wanted to talk about? You're muted.
We did spend a little more time talking about some of the highway issues that came up during the meeting. One being, they could only get one bid for a truck, and I don't know. You know, then that truck that happened to be that they got the quote on is probably like the Cadillac of all trucks, the Freightliner. It's a pretty good name in trucking. So it seemed kind of expensive. Anyways, hopefully things will the market will open up and there'll be more trucks available because. It seems like that particular truck is a little out of our price range.
Thelma, so you got a comment on that?
Yes, I do know that Jeff told me that he tried several times to contact another company and never got a response.
Yeah.
Sue, did you have a question? Were you going to ask something?
No, I was going to say that I thought Jeff had mentioned that he had tried to contact other places and hadn't gotten any response. So I don't think it was intentional that there was just one. I think it's just the only company that he's been able to make contact, successful contact with.
Yeah, so Will was going to meet with Jeff again and just kind of go over some of those things. Yeah, so that was that. That's we spent a fair amount of time on that.
Okay.
I had my notes here somewhere.
Well, I think the only other big thing was the plow. Did you talk all about the plow?
Yeah, the plow. Well, it's not really. That seems reasonable. It seemed very reasonable to spend that kind of money. I think it was like $7,000 or something.
Yeah.
And it's an old plow, and there's no reason to try to fix it up. So yeah, that seemed really very reasonable. And then we've talked a little bit about the police and the fire reports, and those seem to be okay, but I guess now, you know, we got to kind of move along, and once we get everything on find out how much everything comes to for a total bottom line, and decide if we're going to have to make some tough decisions. I don't know.
Yep.
Did you also have a recommendation? Well, maybe it's coming up in the next part of our meeting on the 15 year.
That's payback. Right.
Is that part of the next conversation?
Yeah, I stuck it in on that. Yeah, because we have a whole bunch of items with MLP.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this was just, we kind of just threw this in as a catch-all just in case we, yeah. I remembered that, well, we knew that they were going to, FinCom was going to meet that Thursday or whatever day, last week. So yeah. I just didn't know if there were any updates you wanted to share. So that's, I'm happy to hear about the truck and that. Well, I was going to ask if you guys had an individual who was going to follow up with Jeff. So knowing that Will's going to do that, that answers one of my questions.
Yeah.
And I had spoken with Jeff about the salt shed. I've asked him, he's making a couple contacts. We already have some numbers. They're old, so you have to kind of extrapolate from them a little bit for some of the structures that Jeff has been thinking about for the salt shed. And we had some numbers for the actual structure itself, but not necessarily the other pieces and parts. So Jeff and I have done some communicating about that. And he has a couple of places he's reaching out to for total project prices. So we have some idea as to what those additional costs are that kind of go along with the different structures that have been proposed. I think we have two of them now. Did that information go to Finance Committee too, Helma, or?
I sent it to Tom.
Okay, all right.
So he can.
Which one was that? Is that that was the emails that had several building?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, two separate emails. There was a salt shed proposal with each email.
Right. I didn't get a chance to send it off to the others yet. I started to, and then I got like distracted on something. So.
That's okay. So no, that's okay. I was just gonna say, if you didn't get it, I was gonna ask Helma to send it so you could share it with finance, and just with the caveat knowing that more information is coming, but you'll see a couple numbers. It's somewhere, one of those structures, one company proposes the structure that sits on masonry blocks that are included in the price. It's just under 200,000. And then the other is just the structure that needs to sit on a concrete wall that needs to be supplied by other, and that's like 140,000 or something. So we're just trying to get a more full price than just that. So we have something to work with.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that, now that we got some more information to look at, that we'll definitely, at our next meeting, which I'm not sure if we're going to have it on a third or another day, we talked about in March. But, I look at that structure that we have, and when they first put it up, I could never understand why they didn't make the walls go up as high as like the pile of sand that goes up. So now, every time the loader goes in there, sand or salt falls off to the other side of the wall. And then, the boards that were on the outside wall had to get pulled off. But anyways, then I looked at some of those new ones, and they got the same problem. You get an wall, the cement base is only up about, looks only about maybe 3 or 4 or 5 feet, 6 feet high. And the loader goes in there and scoops up a load of salt, and it's going to land on top of that wall. And then it's going to work its way out and do the same darn thing that this one's doing. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. I'm probably not making myself clear on that. But
No, you are. You are. There are some that are higher. They're like 6 to 8 feet, even 10 foot high.
I think it's all dependent on how you want the building designed. So I think it's kind of, everybody has their own different approach, but I think you can adjust that accordingly if it makes sense for your application.
Yeah, plus, you know, I'm figuring too that some the employees have to be trained or understand that they can't lift it up that high. You know, you don't have to lift it up that high to get a full scoop, but I was looking around too, looking at other towns, what their salt sheds look like. And, you know, Coleraine, as an example, they have about the same style shed as we do. But it's, you know, ours got all broken up on the front because they tried to dump the salt out of the truck as far into the building as they could. And the driver, you know, I don't know who was watching it. Sounds like, looks like nobody. But at Coleraine, they got the same thing. They got to get it dumped on the pavement and then push it in with a loader. And if you do that and do it carefully, you don't beat the building up. But so I guess I get back to, you know, it's got to be an understanding of from the operator side of it as well as a building that can stand up to the need.
Right. Agreed. Brian?
There's a couple of these structures at the state highway yard there in Shelburne, and maybe we can make a field trip over there and see what's happening in terms of loading the material in the building and if they're getting buildups on the edges like Tom is suggesting. Hopefully we'd be able to get one that was high enough they could dump, because it's really a have to push that stuff in, you know, instead of the guy coming in and just dumping the load and going home, you keep them there for, you know, a considerable length of time while they're getting that stuff pushed in. So hopefully we can find one that's high enough that those big trucks can dump.
Yeah. And that's actually who one of the group of people that Jeff has worked going to be talking with, that's who he's reaching out to, is up at over at the highway check on the pricing. So that's who he's talking to.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So a couple more minutes. Anything from select board members on budget requests or the capital expenses, Sue, anything? Last meeting, or any questions for FinCom or thoughts?
No, nothing we haven't hit on.
Brian, anything else?
I don't have anything at the moment.
Okay. The next on other business, we'll just kill a couple more minutes here. Excess land, 5 Ledge Road. Well, we talked about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The operating assessment, that might take a little longer, so maybe we wait on that. Brian, we should let you know that for STM, we've already talked about that special town meeting.
Yeah.
Hilma is going to reach out to the council to see if they would be willing to wait for any payments and not have to have an STM and just wait and deal with it at ATM. So she's going to be checking on that. And in case the answer to that is no, and we need to have an STM, we're tentatively looking at, what was the date, Hilma? I don't have it right in front of me.
March 23rd.
March 23rd.
Which is a Wednesday.
Is that doable for you?
Yeah, it should be.
Okay. So we knocked that off already too. Okay, so we'll get into, I know we got a lot of items with the Municipal Light Board, who is is all here with us, I think, or mostly all here with us.
Everybody coming, I believe.
Everybody except Anne, I think.
Oh yeah, no Anne.
Emmett's will not be present tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, it's basically 7:00 and I know we have a couple items on our agenda, but I'm sure you guys have many more. Who is, how are you guys doing this? Or who's starting off with your presentation, or how you want to play through this?
Well, I guess first I should call the Municipal Light Board meeting together, since we've posted this as our meeting as well.
Okay.
And, so I'm doing that.
Okay.
We're here. David, sorry, I was looking at my thing here. David, Bill, Ned, and myself, Ann wasn't going to be able to make it on the Municipal Light Board. And we understood this primarily to be the budget hearing, essentially for the MLB, for the MLP budget. And I think everybody's gotten copies of the draft budget. I hope you all have. And I guess the way we'd like to start is to ask if there are any questions that you have about that proposed budget, which is less than last year's proposal. If you have questions about any of the components, we'd be glad to explain them. And then we do have four or five things that we'd like to talk about on our agenda as well that need, that we either like to inform you of or we need your decision on.
We'll do that budget. Does everybody have the budget? So everybody, meaning select board, finance committee isn't making decisions tonight. They're not technically posted, but they're certainly welcome to ask questions. Sue, you want to start off? You got any questions for Municipal Light Board?
Not on this part of the budget, on the budget planning sheet.
Okay. Brian?
You're muted, Brian.
No questions? No. You're still muted. Finance committee. Oh, here's Brian. He's on committee. He's unmuted.
I didn't think you wanted to listen to my printer, but maybe you do.
Oh. Do you have any questions?
No, I don't at the moment.
All right, finance committee.
No, I guess I'd like to hear what the presentation is, and then go from there.
You want them to run through the budget real quick?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Okay. We can do that. What the budget lists is the first is the Wired West annual assessment, which last year was $1,000. And we're expecting to have that as a part of the budget as well, except that we do know that Wired West, the board is in the process of changing their bylaws, and the result of that change will be that the towns that are members won't have to pay that $1,000. And we had hoped to have that decision made by tonight, but the board has to have another vote on it. It's pretty sure that it's not going to be there. So, but at the moment, we're leaving the $1,000 in there. But we're hoping that it won't be there at all for this year. The salary the funds for the municipal light plant manager is the same request as last year. And we're expecting that in FY23, it'll be actually less than that. But we thought it wise, since we don't know yet, that we should leave it in at the same level as last year. The Municipal Light Board, that next figure of $2,750 is, I guess, the stipends for the board members. And you guys put that in there. And no one is objecting to it, but you may get some of those funds back if people don't want to accept the stipends. There's $425 in there for the Municipal Light Board's expenses. And last year there was a little bit less than that, $75 less. That's to cover things like attendance at meetings. We're hoping the COVID thing will mean we'll be in-person meetings before too long, at least in FY23. And for other expenses like mailings or, and in this case, we added the extra money because we're getting a Zoom subscription or are going to pay for a Zoom subscription. We've been sort of leaning on individual private people's accounts. And so we put some money in there to get an official account for us, for the municipal light board. The next one there, the municipal muni network for the connections with the municipal buildings, the drop installations. We, there's last year there was $5,906 that we had expected to have to spend. And the actual cost turned out to be less than that. I think it was about, I think it's, there's a note below there. I think it's $2,194, but the HUT is sharing some of the use of it. And so the municipal light board is going to absorb that cost. And so you don't have to put that in the town budget at all. And the Heath Municipal Network monthly subscription, I guess what I just said about using one of the lines for the HUT and for municipal light board activity, we're going to absorb that cost as well out of our municipal light plant income. So there's nothing there. So the net result is we're asking for about $6,000 less than last year, which is about a 25% reduction. Anybody on the light board want to add to that? So do you have any questions?
Tom, follow-up questions?
Yeah, no, I don't. Am I talking? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I think it's really a good starting point here, a good budget, and I don't really have any questions. I just thought I'd chime in on, you know, the changes, that the absorption of some of the costs by the MLB is, it seems, you know, very practical to do, and I'm glad you put it up that way. I don't really have any questions about on any issue, any of the items there. So it's good you explained them, and we have a good start.
Anybody else on Finance Committee have any questions? All right, Sue, anything? Brian, Seth?
No.
All right, what's your next item?
The next item would be an update on the money that we're expecting to get back from the state to support the drop installations. And Sheila, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you are. do you want to take that?
Sure. So we just recently got an email from Bill Ennen. Hilma got a copy of this as well. And the good news is that the secretary of the EOHED has agreed to amend Heath's request for funds and allow us to apply now for the money and then reconcile in the spring when we hope to have even more drops and customers. So this is really good news because we won't have to wait until June or July to get the amount of money that we're expecting from the state. So what's going to happen is as soon as the amended contract with the state is is reviewed, it's being reviewed right now at the state. When it's approved, Hilma and I will get a copy. It's a request to send $214,682. That's the amount we're going to get soon once the application is submitted. I do believe that the select board has to sign this. I can't quite remember. So as soon as we get it, Hilma, we can figure out if it's something that's got to come back to the board or what. My recollection is I think somebody has to sign it on the select board. So that's really good news, especially the part about being able to reconcile. That was very important to us because we are truly hoping to have more drops and subscribers by the springtime.
Great.
Well, the next, are there any other questions about that from anybody?
I didn't get the total number. 214,000 was it?
214,682.
682. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So the next item covers a number of topics, but we wanted to update you on the status of the hut insurance and the security to the hut. And I think Sheila, if you could talk about the insurance first, and then David can talk about the or Bill, I'm not sure about the hut security and that sort of thing.
Okay. So again, we got a letter. Hilma and myself both got a letter from Maya with an invoice for $500. And boy, I'm not finding it quickly here. Total is $576. We were expecting the second invoice. This is the one we really were waiting on. The second invoice, we were told it was going to be about $1,800. And the way that this policy add-on is written has left us with several questions. And we feel we need to call the gentleman who sent this to us to inquire to make sure it really does include all of the electronic components in the hut. It seems to in some of the contract language, but they've called out hub generator and HVAC, and then on another page really discuss that it's computer equipment. So I just really need to be sure that this covers the hut and all of the electronic components. The previous tranche that we've already paid was 6,000 something, and that paid for the rest of the network components. So this is the piece we've been waiting on. If we find out that this is the last of it, then this would be covering the Heath network until the policy expires, which is in July 1st of this year. The Heath MLP would be paying, like we paid the last tranche, we'll be paying this one as well. And then invoices for Maya Insurance for the future can be sent directly to Wired West. Wired West will be paying it. So in any event, if Hilma, if you've seen other questions on this, we have to call them anyway. I'm planning to call, but if you have questions you want to send, I can talk with the gentleman and find out, you know, if this is comprehensive, and I'll let you know what they say. But so I guess the bottom line is we're not fully covered yet, and we'd like to be because the insurance from the contractor, the builder's insurance, is now done. They are done basically with the build.
Okay, any further questions? David, do you want to talk about the HUD security and the key card system?
Sure, thanks. Yeah, so you may recall several months ago, you approved a purchase with Cibula Systems for security system for the HUD. It was around $13,000 for the capital costs of that system. And that was installed today, actually. They finished installing it. And so that'll give us cameras inside and outside, motion detected cameras, as well as monitoring temperature, humidity, water issues in the hut, as well as the status of the battery backups, the generator backup, and so on. So this is a, you know, we've really been anxious to have this in place to protect basically the heart of the network and the valuable electronics inside. So happy to see that going. Now, in addition, there's a card access system. So rather than sharing a four-digit code to get into the hut with innumerable people, each person who has access to the hut now will be issued a card and a code to get in, so we can track who's going in and out, you know, when they're going in and out, and also remotely give people access if we need to. That part will not be implemented for a couple of more weeks. We'll need to get some people, they'll need to come back out with the key fobs for that, but there will be keys going to Tim Lively, the police, the fire, as well as Sheila, of course, and a couple of members of the MLB, and as well, Westfield technicians will have key fobs to be able to get access when they need to for either emergency or for other service. So that's going along great, and just wanted to give you an update on that.
David, one point that maybe the general public doesn't realize is the electronic equipment in there is not just expensive, it is very expensive, but it's also susceptible to things like dust and temperature changes and that sort of thing, which is why control on who goes in and out, they need to know that they got to wipe their feet and vacuum their clothes and everything like that. Now I'm exaggerating, but it's very important that the hut remain clean and well-maintained.
Art, yeah. There will be training on the hut alarms and the response expectations and the use of the key fob. And so that the people that will be needing access will get some information on when training will be taking place.
Great. All right. So,
Hilma has her hand up.
Question about Cibola. Are the select board supposed to vote to approve the, I don't know, combined, what is it, monitoring? That proposal that came in, or don't they have to do that?
Talking about the contract with Cibola.
Yes.
I think you're talking about the additional amount for the card access system. There's like $400 or $500?
It was $400 and for the monitoring and $200 for the testing and inspection annually. So these are annual costs. So this is operating, and the MLP manager and Art, as the chair of the MLB, signed that, because these are operating costs.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure.
Can I just check on that, Sheila? There's actually three different contracts. I want to make sure we're talking about the same ones. You mentioned the two, which are operating costs, and in fact, we are paying for that out of operating expenses. But remember, there's also the card access administration system that was an additional, I want to say $400. Did that get approved?
And that one was separate from the original?
From the original, yes, because that's just the card administration part of it. It doesn't have anything to do with the equipment that goes into the hut.
Yeah, I don't recall that was brought to the select board. In fact, I don't know that I have it. You'll have to make sure we can see it. So,
well, that's right. We were waiting on it. We were waiting on a invoice or a quote, rather, that was specific for Heath. That was made out to multiple towns. So,
do you have it, Hilma? Do you know?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, this is like the 11 towns.
Yes.
And it's, let's see, the S2 head end cost Per town would be $481.37.
That's the one.
And then credit, S2 annual support is $46.09 per town.
Right. So the, thank you, Hilma. The, that is an additional cost that we, because it's a capital cost, I think we were planning on going to the select board for approval. There will be a credit there. You mentioned there's $200-something credit for for a Cisco switch. So the total will be something less than that $400. Is that something you want to vote on and approve tonight? That would be great. Otherwise, we can formally recommend it for the next meeting.
Well, I'm fine with it. Sue, are we good with making a motion?
If you're okay with us not having the exact figure at this point.
Well, I don't know that we're going to, are we going to actually get an exact figure? If this is the figure for now. And if more, from what I'm reading, if more towns were to join, it could all be altered. But I think this is our number for now.
Yes.
So it's the 481.37 with the credit of 211.99 and then the 46.09. And then the cards are 570 each, whatever. So I think that's what we have to vote on. And it may come in less.
Can I just add one thing to that? If other towns were to sign on after this was already paid for, we would be credited back, even if it's after it's been paid for.
Okay,
well, I would move that we approve this based on the numbers that you just read, because I don't have them all in front of me right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Further discussion, select board, any questions or discussion?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. All right.
So, well, the next thing I've had on here is similar or related anyway, and that is the status of the network construction and also the backhaul redundancy. And the construction part, particularly, we wanted to inform you about where we are with the drops in the town. Bill, do you want to take that?
Sure. So the construction is, as Sheila said before, the construction of the network is pretty much complete. There's a little bit of tying up of loose ends in FSA 4, which is the estates. But just so you're aware, Sheila did talk about being able to, with the state, with Bill and being able to go back in the spring if we have more. And so what we're looking at right now is an FSA 4. We have 23 existing customers with 68 pending for the spring. So once roads are opened up there, there could be as much as 68 additional customers signing up. Well, they really have already filled out applications, is my understanding. So 68 more customers in the spring for FSA 4. FSA 1, 2, and 3 have another 14 pending applications. There's the coal drops that were put up. So drops that were run to houses that it was not active subscriptions, but they wanted to have the drop put to the house in case they wanted it in the future. So FSAs 1, 2, and 3 combined, there's 12 coal drops, and FSA 4, there's 10. So those are, potential customers for the future as well. So the construction, as I said, is pretty much done now. But we do have, definitely at about 81 customers for the spring that we're expecting to have signed up more than what we have now.
Thanks, Bill. David, do you want to talk about the backhaul and the rings and where we are standing with that?
And sure. Yes, and there are a couple of decisions we'd like the select board to make tonight regarding this. So I just wanted to give you an update first. Been meeting regularly with our neighboring towns Rowe and Colerain and Leiden and Charlemont, who we are building a, we want to build a interconnect our networks in order to provide greater resiliency to our network and multiple paths to our internet providers. So that's, there's really two parts of those discussions. One is the cost sharing agreement between the five towns, and the other one is the technical part of how, what that network should look like. And we're working with Westfield in order to design a network that will best meet our needs. So regarding the design, the technical part of it, we have, after a lot of pulling of teeth from Westfield, we finally gotten to a point where they have given us a design that all five towns agreed will really meet our needs for the net, you know, for the distant future, really, to provide good resiliency backup routes to the internet, as well as being able to allow us to share large 10 gigabit service, which will allow us to greatly reduce our monthly costs for internet. We still have not gotten the final estimate on that, but we're hoping to get that very soon. We're pushing them for it because of a potential grant that we can get to pay for the initial cost of that. And Art sent you a letter on behalf of the board explaining that grant. It's the CCC grant, which opens up on March 15th, and the application is due on April 15th. We've gotten some very positive feedback from the state administrator of that grant, saying that this project, which is improving the resiliency of our municipal network, is really what that, exactly what that grant was aiming to do. So, and the fact that the towns are combining in that is a positive. So what we would like you to do tonight, and what we're recommending, is that you approve that Heath will work together with the four other towns in this grant proposal. And Colerain has agreed to lead the be the lead on that proposal. And we would just, you know, like to be able to inform the other towns that we would like to combine with them on that proposal. Did you all get that letter? And are there any questions regarding that?
Sue, any questions?
No.
Brian?
No.
If not, so can we have a motion to join with the towns of Leiden, Rowe, Colerain, and Charlemont in applying for a community compact municipal fiber grant to defray the capital cost of interconnecting the town broadband fiber networks for the purpose of improving the resiliency of the networks. Can I have that motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Right. Brian, aye.
Robin, aye.
Thank you. I will communicate that to the other towns. The other part of this is the sort of the financial part, the contract with the other grounds to share with the other towns to share the backhaul provider, the internet provider, to share costs and to share the bandwidth. And the five towns have worked together to come up with a draft contract that will be, you know, signed by each town. And we have sent that, Charlemont has sent that to KP Law for review. Now, four of the towns, everybody except Leiden, uses KP Law. And Rowe and Colerain and Charlemont have agreed to share the cost of the KP Law review. And so what we're looking for tonight is approval from the board. I don't know if this requires a vote or not. I had been speaking with Hilma about this, but we want to have it assurance that this is okay to share these costs. Now, the board, the MLB has discussed this. The backhaul itself is an operating expense. It's a recurring cost. So because this contract is to cover the backhaul, we think it is reasonable for the MLB to pay for the review, the council. But we need the town's approval to actually, I think it's appropriate to have the town's approval to share KP Law's cost or their fee for that. So that's what we're looking for tonight. And I believe today, David Dineski from KP Law sent an email to Mary, town clerk, asking for, whether Heath would be willing to share this cost and a disclosure that he is representing four towns and so on. I'm not sure whether you got that email. It came in fairly late this afternoon.
It came in to me.
Okay. Yes. So I don't know, Helma, do you have anything to add to that, to my explanation?
No, the email is just requesting permission from the select board, and he did include a disclosure that he represents the three other towns.
The key element here that I know you referred to it, but is that if we didn't join with the other towns in sharing the legal costs, then each town would probably want to do their own review with their own attorney or separately. And that would be, we think, considerably more expensive. And the same group would be doing it.
Right.
So what you need a motion for is to approve sharing the cost of the attorney? No.
And using the attorney.
And giving him permission or recognizing that he is
consent.
Consent. Yeah. So move.
I'll second that.
Are there questions? You have questions now about it? Anything, Sue?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead, Brian.
We're voting to spend money, and usually we have to know where it comes from or that it has to exist. You know, like this, is this coming from our legal funds? I mean, I think David just said that the MLP would pay for it, but I just want to know what is the legal requirement for us to be able to appropriate money in this manner? I mean, other agreements we've had like this are intermunicipal agreements, like when we had the shared landfill closure with Holly and Trailmont. I don't know if this is a different sort of issue, but I guess that, the attorney, I'm sure will guide us on this, but just before we vote on it, I wanted to know that we're at least saying that this would be a legal expense, which we have appropriated money, or actually we're going to have to get some at a special town meeting, but are we allowed to say this is coming out of the MLP funds, or do we have to say it's coming out of legal funds?
I think it's a legitimate question, David.
I'm just wondering, because I don't really understand this either, but you're voting to share the cost. Does that constitute voting to expend the funds, because the MLB is proposing to expend the funds?
That's a good question.
Helma?
Okay, so David, what you're saying is when the attorney's bill, legal bill comes in, it will come out of the broadband money.
Yeah, the broadband account.
It will not come out of the town's legal fees operating account.
That's
correct. Yeah, that's okay. Sheila, do you agree with that?
That's correct, Helma.
Thank you. So the motion should be to agree to share the representation of by KP Law with the other three towns that they work for, with the understanding that the legal cost will be paid for out of whatever broadband monies or something to that effect.
Sue, did you make that motion?
That's exactly what I said.
Further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye.
Wait.
Hilma, will you communicate that to David Dineski?
I will do that, yes. Okay.
Thank you. And were there any other questions on the project, the resiliency project? Thank you.
Thanks.
So I think we only had one other item on our list, Robin, and that is we were curious as to if anything is being done about the question about office space for the municipal light board.
So that was on my list tonight too. I knew that was something. We have not, the select board hasn't had that final conversation. It's on our list. We know we need to do that. So more to come on that. We'll be back to you. We haven't had that conversation yet.
Okay, thank you. So
we did have some items. We just had, well, the only other item, and brought up earlier. And this is just, we had maybe finance committee, Tom wants to comment on the Unibank, the costs. We were gonna talk about that. Are we putting that in this conversation? Finance committee had a recommendation on that. You're muted.
You're still muted.
Yeah.
Muted.
How's that?
Better.
Yeah. we spent at the last finance committee meeting, we spent quite a little time going over the options for paying off the $2,450,000 loan. And so we had basically two options, an 18-year payback or 15-year payback. And though our vote wasn't unanimous, we decided to go with the 18-year payback because we felt it would give the select board in particular more management of the money that has to be paid out. So the 18-year loan, though it will actually be more expensive in the long run because of the interest. But we felt if we went with the 18-year, we can always make additional can make additional payments that would keep the interest down if we had the extra funds. And if we don't have the extra funds, because we're going to need them for that, the payback of the loan along with everything else. So that was our recommendation for the select board to use the 18-year note and go from there. I don't know if Ned still on?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you wanted to add anything.
There was, and we did indeed, as you said, consider the two possibilities of 15-year or 18-year. But the vote for the 18-year does not commit ETH in any way to paying the loan in the particular way that's spelled out on the schedule, the 18-year schedule we were looking at. What we are committed to right now is a one-year loan for $1,422,000, a one-year loan that began last September and will mature next September, and will incur an interest of about $5,000. So that $5,000 will be on Article 3 at the annual town meeting. There also has to be an amount for payment of principal. And the payment for the 18-year for fiscal 23 would be $69,400. So for the 15-year loan, it would be more like $69,400. Some number has to go on Article 3 for the principal. The fact that we voted for 18-year, I don't think necessarily means that $69,400 will go there. We've got to consult with Brian Sussel at Unibank.
Okay. All right, Select Board, anybody have questions? Brian, you have any questions on that for Finance Committee?
Tom. Oh, go ahead. That's all right. I didn't know if anybody on the Finance Committee wanted to say something as well.
Sure. Anybody else on Finance want to add to this?
To me, it's kind of like, you know, can you afford the $400 car payment, or can you really afford $350? And if you have extra money at the end of the year and at the end of the month, you pay the extra to pay down the principal. But to lock yourself into something that you may or may not be able to afford, particularly with the school budget being as volatile as it is for over the last 20 something years that we've been dealing with the increases that are, there's really no rhyme or reason sometimes to them. I think to go with a lower payment with the expectation to pay it off sooner, once we get CAF II funds coming, once we have a better understanding of the amount of subscribers that we have, the amount of income coming in, and where we can, I mean, to me, to go with a higher payment with the expectation everything's going to fit nicely into a glass jar is not really ideal in my world, but that was my thought on it.
Okay. Ned, yeah?
The Finance Committee, I'm sorry, the MLP, discussed a statement of MLP priorities recently. And one of the things we considered in coming up with this statement, which we was emailed to the Select Board, we did acknowledge the need to pay back a loan. But we did not indicate in this statement that we expect broadband income to contribute to that next year, fiscal 23. And in the order of the five items in this list of priorities, paying back the broadband loan is at the bottom, number five.
Follow up, anybody else, questions or thoughts? Sheila, go ahead. Sorry.
We still meet with Bill Ennin monthly, and we have understood that there is a possibility through an infrastructure, federal infrastructure money at some point, if that really happens, that could help be a fund that we could apply to the state EOAGD to help the town pay for the broadband loans. This is something we're watching and asking about. It hasn't happened, but I just think it's important that you know that we are, we're watching for that, because we understand, we're all taxpayers, and we totally understand the impact of this on the taxes that all the residents are paying.
Right. Ned?
Well, the possibilities that Sheila just spoke of are something we know about. Something we're not so sure we're going to get, but are actively seeking it. The CAF II money, which has been mentioned earlier, is more certain. We do expect to get that. However, the first two amounts, which combined come to over 100,000, they will not be covering any of the payment for the loan. There will be future amounts which could help do that.
Other questions? Tom?
I was just, you mentioned the letter of with the priorities on it, and I'm hunting around for it, and I'm not sure everybody, I guess maybe everybody, I don't know, does everybody here know what those five priorities were? I was going to ask, maybe if you've got them in front of you, you can read them off again. Because
I've got them right here if you want, Art.
You're muted, Art.
I wondered why I thought I was talking to myself.
You're muted again, Art.
You're muted again.
How did that happen? I hit the darn thing with my elbow, I guess. How about now? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So the priorities that the board decided on, the statement of priorities, is actually prefaced by something I'd like to read to you, because I think it's important. The Heath MLP, the Municipal Light Plant, will operate the Heath broadband network consistent with the prudent industry practice to provide reliable and affordable internet service to Heath broadband customers. Operating expenses and necessary maintenance and repairs will be covered by revenue generated by the customer subscriptions to the Heath broadband. Revenue that exceeds operating expenses will be directed to these objectives that are listed below here, which are in order of priority. The first is to pay for critical network needs such as maintenance and repairs. So I sort of mentioned that. But the second is to fund a depreciation reserve. The depreciation reserve will be sufficient to replace the town-owned assets related to the MLP at their end of life. These assets will include the electronics necessary to operate the broadband network, the fiber distribution network itself, and the MLP central hut. The third priority is to repay the $200,000 to the town stabilization fund that the town voted. And the fourth priority is to cover the salary of the MLP manager. The fifth and last priority is to contribute to the town's payment obligations for repayment of the broadband loans, which is what Ned was referring to. And the net result of all that is that, at least for FY23, there should not be an expectation that be a bunch of money used to contribute to the broadband loans. Is that, are there questions about the priorities? Robin, if I could just add one thing, and that is, and Sheila said it too, and that is that from the beginning, we have always looked toward benefiting the town in the best possible way we could and still have a viable network business. So not only are we actively looking for grants and other sources of income, but we're going to continue that way. And should our subscriptions pay enough to meet these expectations, any extra would, of course, be applied to whatever we can to help the town.
Thanks, Art. Tom?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. That I think I know there's MLB is still getting their feet underneath them, and but I think in the long run that there will be funds available from the MLB to help the town pay off this debt. Understandably, I really can't do it in this fiscal year, but who knows, down the road, hopefully things will square up.
I left one priority off. My Maserati is going to, play in there somewhere.
So funny. Other questions? Brian, anything?
Nope.
Sue?
Nope.
Finance Committee, anything for Municipal Light Board?
No.
Any other members? Municipal Light Board, anything else for us?
No, I don't think so, not at the moment. We've covered a good ground tonight.
Yeah.
Do we have to vote on this, Robin? do we need to vote on this tonight, or do we wait until regular meeting?
We can. Do you want that now, Kilma? No,
vote on the
18-year versus the 15-year? Accept the recommendation of finance. I don't think we have to.
Have to vote on it?
Yep.
We're still waiting for some more numbers too, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking you'd want to look it over a little bit and
and
check out all the some of the differences on the between the 2 years, the 3 years.
Yeah.
But the two spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Significant, but I don't think you have to vote on tonight. I think look it over. Maybe some other questions will come up too. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Ned?
I was just going to say that I think state law says that it has to all be paid back within the first, within 22, well, let's put it this way. Any given loan for broadband has to be paid off within 20 years. Our loan, which we refer to as a single loan, in fact, is three loans. $500,000, and $450,000. The most recent being in around this time last year. So if you apply the 20-year rule to that amount, we'd be in, 42 or something. So, and that would be a longer period of paying it than 18 years. And just as for an 18 year, you have smaller payments, but pay more in the end when compared with a 15 year. If we were to go for 20 or 22 years, the same would be true in comparing that with 18 years. But this is pure speculation. what we have from Breanne Sussel are these two schedules that have been emailed to you. If nothing else, they have the benefit of knowing a particular amount that the town will have to pay in a given year.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You might want to look at the 20-year spreadsheet. Who knows? You know, I don't know. We didn't look at it that much because we felt that. Anyways, the 18 years. But anyways, you might want to look at it. Anyhow, the 20-year.
So, Robin.
Yeah.
When we get to the right point, when you don't need us anymore, I think we could probably vote to adjourn the MLB portion of the meeting and get out of your hair, for those of you that have hair to get out of.
Yeah, no, I just, I think we're at that point. I was just checking if there are any last questions, and since there aren't, if you want to close, you're welcome to do so.
Is there a motion from one of the MLB members to adjourn?
And I would make a motion to adjourn the MLB portion of this meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All of you are in favor, put your hands up. We don't have to take a roll call. Okay. Thank you very much. It was good to talk to you folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything. Good info. Thank you. And we only have one other item on our agenda for tonight on the other business, and that's the Mohawk Trail Regional School District FY22 operating assessment. Hilma, you want to give an update?
Sure. Goodness, last Wednesday. First thing in the morning, I received a call from Superintendent Stanton informing me that they had found an error in this fiscal year's calculations, and that what it looked like is basically they had left out of the calculations the 33 Heath children going to the Hallamont school. So because, and if you remember correctly, last year all the other towns' assessments went up, Heath's went down in terms of like percentage distribution. So anyway, Superintendent Stanton said that she was writing a letter that would be sent to the select board, which in fact I received last Wednesday afternoon and have passed on to all the select board and finance committee members. Now there's basically, according to the charts that she included in the letter, it looks like Heath underpaid by about $90,000. I questioned her about, she said, well, excuse me, in the phone call, she said that they were reaching out to DESE to discuss the situation with them. I asked her where the error occurred. She didn't know. I asked her at what point do they stop going back in history to find errors that they try to hold the towns responsible for. And she just replied, that's a good question. She didn't know. And anyway, so she sent the letter. On the chart that's on the first page of the letter entitled The Original Calculation of Assessments, if you look at Heath's amount It's listed as $1,050,000 plus. I'm not sure, you know, studying it some more, I am not sure where they got that number from, because that was not the number that the school committee approved a year ago. It was not the number that was brought to and approved at town meeting as our assessment. Neither was that 8.3874 percentage was not our percentage of the assessment. So there's that piece of it. Once I emailed the letter to Finance Committee on Thursday morning, and Thursday afternoon, I received a phone call from Ned, who related to me that last year, in fact, when the proposed Mohawk budget came out, Ned had raised questions to the school committee chairman about the numbers, about the percentages. He questioned the fact that his assessment was and percentage was going down when everybody else was going up. This email correspondence back and forth, which I believe, yeah, I have forwarded to the select board members. I think I forwarded it to Tom as well. And basically, he was assured that no, those numbers were correct. He was also told that the select board chairman would ask the, accounting firm, TMS, to share their methodology and their five-year student averages and all that with Ned. I believe Ned conveyed to me that he never received that information. That's kind of where we stand at this point. When I emailed it on to Finance Committee, I asked them if they would discuss it at their meeting last Thursday. I passed on some of the questions, like Robin, that you had spoken of with me about what numbers were actually submitted to DESE in terms of their portion of costs and all of that. I don't know what Finance Committee discussed last Thursday. I do believe this is something that needs to be actively pursued in terms of, you know, making clear whose responsibility it is.
Thanks, Hilma. Tom, did you guys talk about this, finance?
No, we spent all our time on the annual. So we didn't get a chance to go on to that.
Okay.
But we can do that at our upcoming meeting.
All right. So, Sue, thoughts or questions?
No, well, a lot of questions. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like there's quite a few things that don't add up here. And it's going to take somebody doing some research to get to the bottom of it all. And a real question about how much responsibility we should bear in all of this.
Right.
And we've already approved an amount for them. So.
Right. Brian, thoughts?
I guess I am sort of curious about what Hillman said about our not having voted that amount of money at town meeting, nor that was the percentage of our assessment correct, the percentage of the total, which they have listed at 8.3874. You know, I'd like to know what the answer to those questions are before we get into the dollars and cents of whether how much we're going to owe.
Right. I mean, it. So the end of the letter from Cheryl says, you know, like Hilma reported that they're going to be reaching out to DESE for guidance. So is this just sit here until they get back to us? Is that, it's like, it's just a letter with some facts and no, like, okay, this is the next step other than them reaching out. So I guess we need clarification on the numbers, Hilma, and just maybe a follow-up asking Cheryl, well, what's the next step? Are you providing us the next, more information, or what it, have they gotten anything from DESE yet? Tom, you have a question?
Yes, I think from what I see, we need to get the right, like,
yeah,
on this paper that we got from Mohawk Trail School, they're listing this as the fiscal year assessment original calculation, and Hilma said that that's not the percentage we voted on, that's right. Not the number. So this is. So I think you should get this. I should get back to them.
Yeah.
Give us this. Get this straightened out. This is not correct. And then we can tell them later on that we're not going to pay that. You know, that's not our fault. And we asked you to look at it. We asked you to look at that a year ago before and you said you were gonna. And you still didn't find anything. So I don't see this as being totally or even partially necessarily our problem. I'm sure the rest of the schools, the towns, and may be upset about that. But this year is all gone. This year is just about over. This fiscal year, and then we're looking ahead to the next fiscal year, and they're adding on $90,000 just because they think that's going to square up this year. I don't think that's going to square up this year. So I don't know. I think they're going to have to give us a lot of, they're going to have to sell it to us somehow. And then we're going to have to decide whether we're going to buy it or not. Because my first instinct is this stinks. And if they don't give us the right information already, then we're not going anywhere with it. In my opinion.
Right. Alice, your hands up.
Well, I agree with Tom, and here's the thing. I mean, they hired, when Cheryl came in, she hired TM, Mass, whatever the heck, they were the 6th, 7th, 8th, you know, accounting firm that was doing stuff. My guess is this is coming because of their new treasurer that's at the school. But we vote an annual budget. They have E&D funds, for rainy day funds. Well, if their services and their, how do we know that the new numbers are right?
Right.
You know, if they were wrong once, couldn't they be wrong again? So, I mean, if we looked at it last year and we challenged it, and I remember it coming up in conversation in our finance meetings, how do we know that the number they're coming forth with now is right? Second, is that why they got rid of, you know, their accounting firm? I mean, if you can't get your numbers to work, why is that suddenly now the town's fault? I think the person or people that hired the entity should have some onus on this and consider this a, okay, we really need to look at people that we're hiring in a whole new light and make sure that we do some double checks and we're not hiring bottom of the barrel people. Because it's not, if it wasn't Heath, it would be, you know, Shelburne or Buckland or Coleraine. And I mean, none of these towns, I mean, your assessment is your assessment. we can't go back and change things before and add on later. I mean, that's not our budget and how things work. And where are we going to get the money for it? We budgeted. We have a tax rate. Things are done. We're moving on. And since they have same thing, a rainy day fund, I think they should use their rainy day fund for their rainy mess that was created by not any of us as the townspeople.
Thanks, Alice. Bob, yeah.
It seems to me TMS is bonded. And they're bonded because if they screw up, their insurance company or whoever they're bonded with has to step in and make it right. So they gave us a number last year that we put on our town meeting budget. We voted that. We gave it to them. If TMS screwed up, go talk to your bondsman. You know, that's why they do it. They do it for these exact reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I totally agree. Ned, you had your hand up?
Well, and speaking of screwing up, it is that 8.38% that is screwed up. I mean, the amount that was approved by at town meeting was the amount corresponding to that percent. So I mean,
well, it sounds like we need to, I don't know that there's much more we can say right now. We really need to get some answers and find some more information out before we can take any action and do anything.
Well, and really at this point, they're not even asking us to take action, are they?
Well, they'd like you to hand over $90,000, but.
They haven't, they're not gonna, where are they getting it from? You know, they could pull it off of a tree or something like that, I don't know.
Off the money tree.
I think we're gonna see it on the new budget that they send out.
Well.
And I think that's what we need, you know.
That's what it sounds like. I don't think they can do that, Tom.
Well, yeah, maybe not. That would be good if they can, but that's my concern, that they just add it into our budget, you know. So we'll have to watch that.
Yeah. Bob, did you
ever hear that? You better watch it because the school committee's voting on the budget tomorrow night. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay. Bob, did you have your hand up again?
Yeah, but well, hubbada, hubbada, hubbada.
Yeah, no, I know.
I said it.
It's crazy. No.
Well, we're going to save a lot of money next year.
If the mistake was in our favor, would they give us the money back? I don't think so. I don't know if they even have a way that they could do that. Maybe they're asking Desi. I'm not sure, but it's going to be interesting what Desi comes up with.
Yeah, well.
All right, so we'll have to get more information, more to come. But actually, Bob, to go to what you said in this letter we received, the front page of the letter has an assessment the original assessment calculation for what they think it was for each town. And then when they're showing us what it should have been for Heath, it is adjusting it for all the towns. So it is, in essence, giving back to all the other towns and increasing Heath in the letter. It's interesting. I know, exactly. Very interesting.
Well, I think with that budget, they're voting on the budget tomorrow night, that we ought to, I don't know if we can get a hold of one of our, Barbara might know,
What does she know?
Whether they stuck that $90,000 back in here or not,
they did not
stick before she bought it. Yeah.
No, they did not stick the $90,000 in there. I don't think legally they can, because you're talking about money for two different fiscal years.
Yeah. Well, that was good. I And I'm sure, I imagine Barbara and Noel have seen this. I think she's seen this letter.
Yes.
I just didn't know if maybe if we, someone might talk to her about our discussion tonight here. And I assume that she'll be voting on that. She'll be voting on that tomorrow night. So just to make sure she's looked at it. And
yes, and she, sorry.
Go ahead, Hilma, and then Bob again. Yeah.
Well, I just want to say she is very, as one of Heath's school committee representatives, she is very concerned on several levels to deal with this coming, the FY23 school budget. Number one, the figures that are coming out that are sent to the school committee members are not consistent. As of 4 o'clock this afternoon, I think was when I talked to her, they had not been sent the latest packet of materials, the latest budget calculations that they're supposed to vote on tomorrow. As a taxpayer, I find it very concerning.
Yes. I mean, just hearing it, raises all kinds of questions, especially after what they sent us.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good.
Bob, you had your hand up.
Has Budge chimed in on this? I mean, is he aware?
He's aware.
Okay, good.
He's aware.
All right. I'll talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, that was the operating assessment update. Anybody else, any questions or comments?
I think it's appalling, Robin. I think if our representatives for our towns the night before, not even 48 hours, like a posting requirement, are supposed to review numbers and come back in good faith to their townspeople. I mean, that's irreprehensible. I think people should be let go. As far as I'm concerned, I believe, obviously, there's some action moving, but there's something, there needs to be some serious shakeup down there. I mean, you can't run a business like that. And that's exactly what this is. How can we as a town run our end of things when they can't even, when they're 53, 54% of our budget,
right,
the school system as a whole? I mean, that's unethical, just wrong.
Good point, Alice. Well taken. Anything else? All right. I think that's all of our business for tonight. Unless anyone else Select Board. Sue, anything else?
No, tonight? I think we've had enough for tonight.
Okay.
I know you have.
I'm still going. Brian, anything?
No. I was just trying to find a warrant from last year to see what we voted at
the number. Meeting.
Oh, I've got that number.
What is it?
$921,470 is what we voted for the operating assessment.
Can you read that off again, Hilma?
$921,470.
Thank you.
Hmm. Okay. Oh, Bill, sorry. I was not looking.
That's okay. So that figure, was the town, we were given a percentage number from the other town for the school budget, or were we given a hard dollar amount? When they gave us how much we owe?
Both.
So do we still have the, in writing, what they said we owed?
Yep.
Yeah. And that was $921,000, right?
That's right.
Well, SOL, you know?
Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah.
Bob.
They didn't say more or less, did they?
Yeah, that little +/-
Well, okay. You had the little arrows greater than, less than, you know. When they point at each other, what does that mean?
Yeah. Pretty much. All right. Finance Committee, anything else for tonight?
Not for me.
Beautiful. Anybody else? Nothing. Oh. Hilma, anything else for tonight?
No, I don't think so.
You mean we can close the meeting?
I move we adjourn.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, I.
Brian, I.
Robin, I. Thank you, folks.